Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast, presented by Viva the Matadors. You are on once again with your boy, Albie Shore, and back like he never left. I got my right-hand man, Dylan Smythe, with me. What's up, Bill?
Yeah, couldn't make it to the last podcast, but it's good to know that it's business as usual here on the Air Raid Podcast.
Yeah, and this pod, we're not missing anybody. Nope, that's it. Just the two of us, like always. I don't think there's a third person missing whatsoever. Not anybody that we would miss or any or even really care about. Am I right?
Yeah, I don't know who you would be referring to. So
I have no idea. So with that, another group of guys that I have no idea about are the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Over the week, Jeremy, I petitioned. I tried to sell the Air Raid Podcast. Oh, did I call him out? I got Jeremy on the brain. Damn it. I tried to go this whole pod without even talking about it.
And you got 20 seconds in.
Yeah, you know, dang it. Well, it's okay. We can go through this pod without even talking about Jeremy anymore, who is not here in this pod. But I tried going, Dylan, the past week and seeing if any other university will take the Air Raid pod. I tried. I was like, I went to USC. I said, hey, we can be the Harold Raid pod.
What about like UCF? You know, I'd be cool with that.
Who is UCF? Okay. I could have went to U of H, but I don't want it.
We have friends that do a good job over there.
That's true. But no, we're still with you, Red Raiders. And you know, it's because last week hurt. Dylan, you weren't on the pod, but have you recovered from last week's meltdown?
I don't think I ever will. I think that one's gonna stay with me for a long time. In general, like Texas Tech's losses hurt, but like, damn, that one hurt more, and that's really saying something.
Yeah, you know what it is. I realize what it is that our hopes have risen because the other sports are so good. So we now know the feeling of like being winners as a university. So like we know what that feels like. So like I think that's why, even though we know the football team is bad, we know the feeling of being winners. So we're like, oh, this team will give us that same
thing.
And we
know it can be done in Lubbock. It just hasn't been done in football.
Yeah, you know. But hopefully that loss doesn't stay with the Red Raiders very long, as they do play the Kansas State Wildcats this Saturday, 2:30 Central on Fox Sports 1. So, I mean, it gets a chance to, you know, play against the Purple Wildcats this weekend. This will be the second time that Matt Wells has played against Coach Kleiman and his K-State Wildcats. And both teams had very rough or excitable Saturdays last weekend. Texas Tech, of course, almost upset the eighth-ranked team in the country. But the Kansas State Wildcats actually did upset the third-ranked team in the country, Oklahoma Sooners. So, I mean, initial thoughts, Dylan. What do you think about this Kansas State team just from looking at them last Saturday?
I think you can compare our game with their game pretty well. And unfortunately for us, we weren't able to get it done, and Kansas State was. I think they scored three straight to get back into this game, and then a 50-yard game-winning field goal. It was just really impressive, you know, to be able to do this twice against Lincoln Riley for Chris Kleiman. Kansas State, just like last year, they were sneaky good. I looked at the conference standings last year, and it's like, oh, they finished tied for third, and they're just a sneaky good football team.
Yeah, you know, unlike being up by 15 with 3 minutes and 13 seconds to go, Kansas State was actually down 28-7 in the third quarter. And they were down again 35-14. Actually, that's the most they were down. And from that 35-14, they ended up scoring 24 straight points to win the game. Must be nice. So basically, Texas Tech once again can't let their guard down against this Wildcat team. So let's talk about the Tech offense as they go up against this Kansas State defense. Give me a player on the Tech offensive side that you expect to have a really good game.
I mean, I think it's my answer last week, but it's the most productive receiver for the Texas Tech Red Raiders, and it's Keshawn Carter. I mean, the dude, through 2 weeks, he's still balling through Texas, so I think the coaching staff is realizing they just need to give him the ball more and more.
Yeah, I mean, Keshawn Carter's now has become the leading receiver on the team. On the recap pod, we kind of talked about the three-headed monster that was Keshawn Carter, TJ Vasher, and Eric Izukanma, and I expect that three-headed monster to have just as big of a game, an impact in this game. But I will say, this secondary is the best secondary we've played all year. I mean, it's been a short season, but I don't just mean that as a hyperbolic statement. I mean that this secondary is really good. They held a Lincoln Riley defense to 0 points in the last 14 minutes or, yeah, last 16 minutes of this game. So is there, I mean, do you see that being an issue going forward?
I don't know. They did give up a lot of big plays to Oklahoma initially.
This is also Oklahoma.
Right, yeah, totally. One of the best offenses in the league. But it was interesting to see Spencer Rattler have to, like, come from behind, and he just wasn't able to do it. And that's a credit to Kansas State's defense. They had a late pick that sealed the deal for him. So I think it's alarming, but I do think it doesn't matter who we're playing. I think you guys said it on the last podcast. Our three receivers, I'll put them up against anybody.
Now, I will. So my you kind of stole my thunder saying Keshawn Carter, because you know that's my boy.
This is the podcast's boy.
That's my guy. But, okay, fair. That's fair. That's the podcast boy. But I will say the other podcast boy, Sir Roger Thompson, who didn't, outside of this big 75-yard game, wasn't able to find a lot of holes. Occasionally he was able to do it, but for the most part, he was stopped at the line. He's the guy to me that I think has to make a shake. Right, I think we have to get the run game going a little bit. And I know some people, some casual fans, didn't understand why we still kept trying to run the ball, because you kind of have to,
yeah.
Right? You kind of have to be able to get something going. And I think if he can get something going, that'll alleviate some of the pressure.
And to be fair, Texas, that's the best rush defense we're going to play all year.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, we talked about their front seven last week. Now I'm right here.
Where'd you go?
Can you hear me? Can't hear me?
Oh, now I hear you.
That was weird. All right. Starting from the last thing you said.
Did you hear what?
You can still hear me.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah. You said that. I heard you say that Texas is the best run defense.
Yeah, I was done.
All right, cool. Yeah, no, you're right. We talked about Texas's front seven in the preview pod last week before disaster happened. And you're right. I don't think I'll ever be able to get over that. But as we try to move on to this next one, you're right. That is the best front seven that we're probably going to face all year. And so when K-State is a little different, because I fear their secondary a little bit more. But who on that K-State defensive side is somebody they're just going to have to look out for in general?
You know, you talked up their secondary. I'm looking at Jerron McPherson, a senior for the Wildcats. He's been there for a long time. He's like second or third in the team in tackles through two games. And he's the one that got that big pick at the end of the Oklahoma game to kind of seal the deal. So either him or Wyatt Huber is probably a name that's familiar. I think his brother played there too, right? But defensive end, basically best pass rusher.
Yeah. And I think that actually is, that's going to be interesting in the passing game. When you talk about Huber, is if the defense can get pressure on Alan Bowman, we've kind of seen that Alan Bowman doesn't do the best with pressure. Right, he kind of needs things handed to him a little bit. He kind of, that's when his mechanics get thrown all off, and he becomes a little bit more of a. He kind of has more issues with his mechanics. So, if Hubert does get to Alan Bowman consistently, I do think that may be a problem there.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's gonna be a recipe for the rest of the season, I think. Force Alan Bowman to make a deep ball and then live with the consequences. But until he does, you might as well load up the box, stop Sir Roderick, and stop these little dink and dunk passes.
So my guy to look out for in this game is Justin Hughes. I think Justin Hughes is their best linebacker. I'm a linebacker guy. I like me some good quality linebackers, and he had a really good game against Oklahoma where he was just flying all over the field. When I was watching that game, he's the name that I kept hearing because he kept just getting after it, especially in the run game, surprisingly in the run game. He was a big leader on that defensive side, especially late in that second half. So Justin Hughes is the guy that I think we're going to have to look out for. And I think if you have a situation similar to last week where the running holes just are not opening up, Hughes is probably going to be the biggest reason for it. So as we were kind of glazing, we're kind of talking so much about that Kansas State defense and how formidable they are. I mean, we got to talk about Alan Bowman. Is he going to be able to get anything going against this K-State defense?
Again, I think his success lives and dies with the deep ball. I mean, he's just got to prove that he can hit it. And he couldn't against Texas, and he couldn't against Houston Baptist. So it's really concerning to see, you know, like I'm probably the biggest Alan Bowman supporter on the podcast, and I am very discouraged with what I've seen through 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think that as much as we talked about Texas and having a really good front seven when it comes to run defense, I don't necessarily think they're the best pass rushing team in the conference. Now, I'm not saying Kansas State is, because we didn't really see them get a lot of pressure on Spencer Rattler either, but I also think Oklahoma's O-line is a much better than Texas. So this is really the game, in my opinion, it's where all the fanfare is out, right? It's not a rivalry game. Bless you. It's not a rivalry game. It's not a upset. It's not a huge thing. It is two middle of the middle pack teams with new coaches going up against each other. And it's a question of which team can make something shake. And so this, I think, is the game we're really going to see. Is Kansas State's D-line good enough to get pressure on Bowman? Is Texas O-line good enough to stop the D-line from getting pressure on Bowman? And if Bowman's Bowman at this point. I think we know after 3 years, I think we're really starting to see the type of quarterback that Alan Bowman is. An okay quarterback that can get things done when necessary but isn't perfect, that has his mechanic issues, but he's not the guy that we thought would be the savior like he was freshman year, and he's not the guy that was abysmal like he was when he was healthy last year. He is what he is, so now it's all about that O-line keeping him safe.
I forgot where I was going to go with that.
I
was going to ask. I've just been waiting for someone to give him like the worst tag in football a quarterback can get, a game manager.
He's not a game manager. I mean, it's really, you know how hard it is to be a game manager in Texas Tech's offense?
Yeah.
Like you gotta be able to sling the thing. Right? And so I won't call him a game manager. Because he's not that. There was a couple throws that he's made that he was able to launch it. But I think that he's also not too far off from it. Like, I think most of the game he has to manage, and it's just a matter of him being able to make some of those plays when necessary, right? A game manager won the game against Texas Tech last week. That's scars never heal. So as we switch sides, right, let's switch sides. Let's talk about the Tech defense as they play this Kansas State offense. Even with a new head coach, this is still still your grandfather's Kansas State team. Still a very methodical way of moving the ball down the field. They pass it a little bit more. This is, you know, but they're still boring. Okay. So with can Texas Tech defense limit boring Kansas State?
You know, it's interesting. This offense did not operate like I expected it to against Oklahoma. I think ideally they wanted to get, you know, on top of them early and then run the ball, but that wasn't the case. You know, they made Skylar Thompson lead his team back in this game, and Skylar Thompson really did that. Like, I never thought of Skylar Thompson as a great passer. I still don't know if I do, but he was dropping dimes against Oklahoma. And, like, passes I'd never seen or thought Skylar Thompson could pull off. So that really worries me. Not so much. I think we know who our Texas Tech defense is. I mean, secondary's bad, again, really bad. And I don't think Skylar Thompson is necessarily a great quarterback, but he played great last week. And if he shows up even close to how he did against Oklahoma, he'll probably shred us too.
So last year, Iowa State held Skylar Thompson to 57 yards passing. Mississippi State held Skylar Thompson to 123 yards passing. Nicholls State held Skylar Thompson 212 yards passing. Texas Tech gave up 246 yards passing to Skylar Thompson. I do think Skylar Thompson has become a much better quarterback than I ever thought he was going to be. He's still not that good. You know, but I do think he's a little bit better. He's more improved. And I think that when you, like you were saying, when Skylar Thompson comes out there, he's going to make a couple of those throws that he wasn't able to make his sophomore year or even his freshman year when we first saw him trot out there for the Wildcats, right? He's going to be able to make some throws. We're like, oh, I didn't know he could do that. But he's just not going to be able to do it consistently. So we have another guy who is a runner that can also make occasionally decent passes. And so it's a question of, can this Texas Tech offense or defense, sorry, stop that? Now, we didn't see him run the ball very much against Oklahoma. There wasn't a lot of design runs for Skylar Thompson as much as we're used to seeing. So I am curious if now if Chris Klieman is saying, hey, we're going to make you a quarterback, son, and that's it. And if that's the case, glory be, because I am all for that. But if he is dropping some of these passes like he was able to drop against Oklahoma, we may be in a little bit more trouble than we thought.
And I think it's to be said, I mean, we lost to Skylar Thompson when he was not as good of a quarterback the last 2 years. So it's just not encouraging after last weekend. You know, the fact that they came back big against a big team and we did the opposite is not a great sign.
So who on the Texas Tech defense is somebody to look out for that can help stop this passing or even running game?
Well, I think initially we do need to stop the run game and make them one-dimensional, like Oklahoma succeeded in doing and still lost. But I think it is the right move, and I think that guy has to be arguably the best linebacker through 2 weeks at Texas Tech, Our guy, Krishan Merriweather.
Say it. There we go.
That's our guy. Even in the loss last week, he was all over the place. He's pretty incredible.
Yeah, no, Krishan, I tweeted it. I believe it. I think Krishan Merriweather is the best linebacker on the team. I think he's at least he's played like
through 2 weeks, better than no Rico doubt. Jeffers.
Through 2 weeks, yeah, he's played better than Rico Jeffers, who did have a good bounce back game against Texas. He played better than Colin Schooler, who just made his debut. But I do think that Krishan Merriweather so far has played like the best linebacker at the university, for sure. For me, I think the player that I really need to see step up, Adrian Fry has been very inconsistent the first 2 weeks. Some plays, I think he's done before I even get to that, when the two deep was released, he wasn't a starter. Now we thought it was a red flag. He's played about as many plays as a starter would play, right? So I don't think he's nothing to read too much into that. He might as well be a starter, but there's some plays that he makes where I'm like, man, he is just on top of it. And some plays he makes where I got me scratching my head. And I said at the beginning of the year that I think if Adrian Fry is really the floor of this team. If he sucks again, the secondary is going to suck. If he's good again, the secondary is going to be improved. And his inconsistency doesn't make me feel any better. I mean, Zach McPherson, as far as I'm concerned, is about as good as I expect him to be, right? Some of the other secondary players are about as good as I expect him to be. Adrian Fry is the one that I need him to be more consistent. I think if he's really consistent and Skylar Thompson isn't doing some of the plays he was able to do last week, well, then that makes their offense a lot more methodical or a lot more boring, and that's just only a good thing.
Yeah, I just there's no one in the secondary that has that. It's just like, I don't know, this secondary. I thought it'd be improved with like Eric Monroe coming on board and Adrian Fry returning the corner.
Have you even heard Eric Monroe's name mentioned once since the second quarter of the HBO?
I saw on Twitter that he played the most snaps out of anybody on defense, and it was like 80 or something snaps. I was like, I don't care. He didn't do anything.
He did?
In those, you know?
You could have fooled me. I saw him on the field. I saw his name. I had no idea he actually made an impact in that game.
Well, just because he saw so many snaps doesn't mean he made an impact. And that's even worse.
Yeah,
saw that many snaps and amounted like what, a few tackles.
Yeah, that's not good. So we definitely need more from him. I think the D line in last week's game played much better towards the end of it, but I think that had a lot more to do with scheme, right? I really need to know from Keith Patterson. Are you going to blitz more? We saw it in the second half. You blitzing helped so much so that the three-man rush actually started to work in the fourth quarter because they were worried about the blitz. That wasn't there. Use it. Do it more often. In the first half, when it wasn't done at all, it was, Elliger had all day. He could take a nap. And Skylar Thompson is about he plays very similar to Sam Ellinger. I mean, you're basically playing Sam Ellinger and Sam Ellinger light in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, you make a good point, Albie. I think You see it time and time again. This team lives and dies by the three-man rush, and more times than not, we die. It doesn't get there, and we keep bringing it, and it just makes me want to bang my head against the wall. It's like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, it needs to come more. I need to see more of it. I think Eli Howard's actually had a pretty good game against Texas. I think the D-line was decent against Texas considering, but I just need the scheme to be better. So outside of Skylar Thompson, though, we've kind of talked about him a lot on the Kansas State offense. Is there anybody else that we need to look at from Kansas State?
God, again, this is one of those questions. I don't know anybody else on this team. Malik Knowles
Deuce Vaughn
was their dude last year. He hasn't really shown up this year, has he?
No, because Deuce Vaughn is that dude from from Round Rock. That's
my neck of the woods.
So little tiny Muggsy Bogues, aka Deuce Vaughn, who's all of 5'5", was their star in the game last week offensively. Led the team in rushing, led the team in receiving, and he's just so quick and shifty. Right, he looks like a middle schooler playing with the big boys, but he's slippery, kind of like Darren Sproles in the NFL was. And so he's definitely, I think, the guy you got to watch out for sure, from that K-State team.
Yeah, really, it's funny looking at these players. I really don't recognize any of these names except for Malik Knowles, who was a dude a year ago, and he has one catch for 27 yards. So what's up here?
Yeah, I mean, but that's, like I said, that's the K-State motto. Well, doesn't matter who the coach is.
That's why I'm typing
his name. They're the same. Extremely boring. Actually, I think I might know more Kansas football players from their program than I do Kansas State, and that's really saying something. So, Dylan, real quick before we end this pod, are you ready to make some predictions?
I guess if I have to, I'm ready. I don't want to.
Yes, you have to.
There we go.
Yes, you have to. So, I'd argue the two teams we hate the most in the Big 12, arguably, the TCU Horned Frogs at the Texas Longhorns, 11 a.m. They got the morning game because everybody hates both of them on Fox. Who you got?
You know, for everybody's sake, let's hope to God it's the Texas Longhorns, because then the Big 12 is in big trouble. But I do think it's pretty clear cut that Texas is going to win this game. I think TCU started somebody over Max Duggan and then benched them for Max Duggan last week, if I'm not mistaken. So that doesn't bring too much confidence.
Well, the sky is blue. Water is wet. Taxes are not a guarantee in life, apparently. And TCU's quarterback still sucks.
No matter who it is.
Yeah, give me the – doesn't matter who it is. So, give me the Texas Longhorns once again to win this game. Next up, TCU's most fierce rival, the Baylor Bears, playing at my boy Neil Brown and my boy Jarrett Dagey's West Virginia Mountaineers. Who you got?
Well, your boys made us look stupid last week because we all picked the upset. And it just didn't happen. Baylor looked good last week at home. Now they're on the road at West Virginia. But, yeah, I have trust issues with West Virginia. I picked them last week. So now I've got to pick Baylor, which means West Virginia is going to win the game.
Dang right West Virginia is going to win the game. I still got faith, Neil. I still got faith at home. The Baylor Bears, like I said, they played Kansas last week. They got really lucky in that aspect, but we saw what happened with TCU in their first game playing again, and they didn't look good whatsoever. This is Baylor's first real game. We'll see with the new coach. We'll see how it really works against a team that's a group that's a little bit more established. Yes, West Virginia didn't look great, but again, Oklahoma State's probably going to be in the Big 12 championship game. I think they're that good. So give me the West Virginia Mountaineers. Speaking of Oklahoma State, they get the bye week this week. AKA, they get to play Kansas. Who do you got in this game?
I think I said this last time I was on the podcast. Thank God for Kansas football. There is forever a dog in the Big 12, and they're going to lose to Oklahoma State.
You know, we keep making fun of Kansas like Tech did
last year.
Yeah.
we're good at blocking things out of our memories.
Apparently not. We were up 15 with 3 minutes and 13 seconds to go. I will take Oklahoma State in this game as well. It's Kansas. What are you going to do? They're another team. Doesn't matter who the coach is. They're going to be in the basement. Yeah, it's a pretty easy pick there. And is this an easy pick as well? The night game in the Big 12 on ABC. Why did this game get on ABC? I don't know. But Oklahoma, 18th ranked Oklahoma Sooners at Iowa State. I know Disney is already regretting making this the primetime game. Who do you got, Dylan?
I think, again, Iowa State just is disappointing this year. I know they won last week to TCU, but TCU played two different quarterbacks, and Brock Purdy just hasn't looked like Brock Purdy as much as Alan Bowman hasn't looked like Alan Bowman. So I think this one's pretty easy. The Oklahoma Sooners bounce back against Iowa State.
Dylan, who did I pick to win the Offensive Player of the Year this year?
Was it Brock Purdy? Was it Spencer Rattler?
It was. It was, no, it was Brock Purdy.
Okay.
It was Brock
Purdy. That's what I thought.
All right. Who did I think was going to be in the Big 12 championship game this year?
I said it too. Iowa State.
Iowa State. So who am I going to pick in this game?
Oklahoma.
Oh, 100%. Iowa State does not look good. Like, I don't, whatever the hype that I had Iowa State on is gone. I leaped off of that hype train at the end of that Iowa State TCU game. I didn't care that they won that game. I catapulted off of that. Iowa State does not look good. Brock Purdy does not look good whatsoever. I don't know what's going on with them. So, yeah, Oklahoma wins this game. Spencer Rattler, I think, looks a lot better, despite going up against a better Iowa State defense. And let's not forget, Oklahoma knows that this is Iowa State team is a team that can beat them because they have beat them before. So I don't think it's going to be a situation where – and also they just lost, right? So, like, Lincoln Riley's not about to take another L. So, yeah. So then finally we get – to the game of the week, the only game that matters in the Big 12. Everybody's watching it, as we all know. The Texas Tech Red Raiders at Kansas State Wildcats, like we said before, 2:30 Central on Fox Sports 1. Who you got, Dylan?
You know, I'll be I think we learned a lot about these two teams last week, and unfortunately we learned that we stink and that Kansas State might not stink. I do. I'm with you. I'm not the biggest Skylar Thompson fan, but he's been playing out of his mind. And Chris Klieman is 1-0 against Matt Wells, and I suspect he'll be 2-0 come Saturday.
Oh, ye of little
faith. Correct.
You were going to sit there and pick the Kansas State Wildcats to beat Tech again for what would be the... I'm actually looking it up right now, and I'm still looking. This would be the fifth year in a row. The fifth year in a row that the Kansas State Wildcats have beaten Tech. You mean to tell me you think that's going to happen?
Yeah.
You're dang right that's going to happen. Look, my faith in the Texas Tech Red Raiders right now is shot. Like, that's – I know a lot of people believe that, well, you know, man, Texas – first of all – for everybody that keeps coming my mentions and telling me about how Texas was the eighth ranked team, we're just lucky to be happy to be there, this, that, and the other. Texas is not one of the top 10 teams in the country. They're not. They were overrated because of the Texas Longhorns, right? That's why. We talk about it every week. We all know it. We all know they're not the top 10 team in the country. Now, are they top 25? Maybe, but not top 10. And so I don't feel happy just to be there with Texas. I think this game will more accurately show everybody the type of team we're dealing with in the Texas Tech Red Raiders. It is on the road, the first road game for this team against a team that, in my opinion, is better coached. I don't see how Tech wins. Let me rephrase. I'm not going to say I don't see how Tech wins this game. So I do think talent-wise, it's about the same. I just think Kansas State's better coached and at home. Give me the K-State Wildcats by 10.
Something about Bill Snyder, and now that the stadium's named after him, so I don't know. It's bad juju for us.
Yeah, I just it's... That game just told me everything I need to know about the Texas Tech Red Raiders this year. And we'll see.
I'll say I was encouraged to see that, you know, we were two score underdogs going into that game and saw that we fight. I was encouraged. But at the same time, it's like you can't put yourself in that kind of position and throw it away.
No. So, I think it'll be very tough. And also, not only that, if Tech loses this game against Kansas State, it is rough going forward, right? Like, that puts you in a 1-on-2 hole before you play Iowa State, West Virginia, and Oklahoma. Three very losable games. Even if you win one of those three games, that's losing this game. You'd be 2-6 before playing TCU. Or 2-5, sorry. But it's gonna be rough sledding ahead. So this is I'm not gonna call this a must-win game for the Red Raiders, but it's up there. Yeah, both of us picked them to lose. So that tells you our faith on this team. So anyways, Dylan, anything else you want to say to the people?
Just thank you for listening to the Everything Hurts podcast.
Everything does hurt. We're just gonna start changing go to our Twitter at Air Raid Podcast. We are gonna change our name daily. If me or Dylan remember to change the name.
Also, go subscribe to us on your favorite podcast listening apps, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitchers, all the things, to ensure you get the podcast first. As soon as it's out, you will get it.
Yep, that's true. Spotify just gave Joe Rogan a lot of money to exclusively stream them, and they've been in talks with us too. You know, they've been in talks. So, you know, not going to say anything, but, you know, they've been in talks. So, yesterday we were before we were the Constantly Disappointed podcast. Yesterday we were the Norm Morals podcast, and then today will be the what did you call this?
The Everything Hurts podcast.
Everything Hurts podcast. When this was released, it'll be the Everything Hurts podcast. So, for Dylan, this is Albie. You've been listening to the Air Raid podcast, none of you the Matadors. As always, stay wrecked, people.